Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Monday, January the 9th. And today, Monday, we're going to take a look at some of the front page stories. I'm sure you're familiar with what happened over the weekend with Hollywood. They put on this big performance. They give out these, I think they're called the Golden Globe Awards. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that kind of recognition. There's a lot of, obviously, very, very talented people who did a lot of good things. But then they went into the politics. And that's kind of where they spoiled the whole thing. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. There's some talk about Michelle Obama in 2020. Just a suggestion, but I think it's interesting why they're doing it. The Trump cabinet, the nominations process, gets underway, I believe, on Tuesday of this week. So that's tomorrow. I think it's going to go smoothly. We'll talk about that. Russia in 2016. This is a story that doesn't go away. And I think I know why it doesn't go away. And there's a little bit of economic pressure, a bit of an economic problem down in Mexico. You might say, why does that matter to me? Well, most of the time when there's a problem economically in Mexico, we hear about it. And the way we hear about it is by people coming north looking for a better opportunity. So we're going to talk about all of these things today. Before we do, I remind you that on the show information, I've got a couple of links that I'd like you to check out from a couple of friends of our show. The first one says residential electricity rates. If you live in Texas and you're shopping for residential electricity rates, just check out my friends. Go on there, put in your zip code, and you'll be able to get a quote. Maybe we can do better than what you have right now or some of the other quotes that you've been getting right now. And there's another link, audible.com. I've become a huge fan of this company over the last few years. This is where you go and download books. We're not saying that you should stop reading. Of course not. But we're just saying that by listening to books, you come into contact with more books and have a way of expanding your knowledge of lots and lots of issues. So check out my friends, Electricity Rates and audible.com. It's all on the show information. When you get a chance, click on that and check it out for yourself. On this day in history, a quick going back to 1913, this is the day that President Nixon was born. I have a post today in my blog about President Nixon. You know, the amazing thing about President Nixon, obviously, Watergate will always be on his resume. There's just no way you can get away with that or from that. But if you look at the total picture, I thought it was very interesting. I have a portion of the speech that President Clinton gave in 1994 when he spoke at the funeral of President Nixon. And President Clinton basically said, look, we've got to take a look at his full record. He made mistakes, of course, but we got to take a look at his full record. And his full record is, of course, vice president. He was a senator. He was a member of Congress. He was, of course, president of the United States. He resigned, no question about that. But after his resignation, about 5 or 6 years later, he became a real asset to the nation. He began writing some great books about national security, a lot of books about Russia, by the way, or then the Soviet Union. And he became a real resource for the country. And when he passed away in 1994, he was one man who was always consulted on the matter of national security and foreign policy. So we remember Richard Nixon, the 37th. President of the United States, who was born on this day in 1913 in California. I have a post on Tuesday morning about Hollywood, and I say Hollywood generally because this is not necessarily the Grammys or the Academies. This is more of, I guess, what they call Golden Globe, which I'm not really sure what that means. But the story is the same. You know, these people go up, they get up, they accept the awards, and then they go off on their political rants, which end up, frankly, just screwing up the whole night. Look, they have political views, and that's fine. Everybody's entitled to their political views. But the post that I have coming out Tuesday morning basically says that these people have made me become a fan of old movies. Because you could listen, you could watch old movies, and, you know, you weren't getting this in-your-face kind of political treatment that you seem to get from many of these movie stars today. I'm a huge fan, for example, of Errol Flynn. I don't know what his political views were. You know, I'm sure he had some, but I never picked that up in in his movie, Humphrey Bogart, the same thing. I have no idea whether he was a liberal, a conservative, Republican, Democrat. I don't know, and I really don't care. But his movies were designed to entertain people and entertain you for a couple of hours, give you a good story, a good movie, and then that was it. Unfortunately, that's not what Hollywood is today, or I should say the industry, the movie industry. It's become too politicized. These people are trying to impose their political views on the rest of us by giving us a bunch of unsolicited political opinions. Last night, of course, they took it out on President-elect Trump, before it was on President Bush, before it was on President Bush, before it was on President Reagan. And, you know, it just gets to a point where you're simply saying, folks, I don't need to hear this. Don't give me these points of view. You're entitled to them. If you're not happy, fine. But don't make it sound like, you know, it's the end of the world and Donald Trump is going to take our rights away because you don't like him. Come on, please. I mean, I think they can do better than that. They can do better than that and spare us all this completely bogus and unsolicited political opinions. Keep them to yourself and dedicate yourself to your profession. That's what you're good at. Stick to that. And that's all I'm going to say about these people. But I'm telling you, I don't think I'm alone in this. I hear from a lot of other friends who feel exactly the same way, that we're just sick and tired of people giving us these unsolicited political opinions in what should be a show about their performances, the movies, the plays, the music, whatever they're good at. That's what these shows are supposed to be all about. I mentioned that there's some talk about Michelle Obama running in 2020. It all started a couple of days ago when the former governor of Pennsylvania, Governor Randall, wrote a tweet saying that he thought Michelle Obama should run in 2020. And I think I can understand where it's coming from. It's not so much about Michelle. It's really about the name Obama, because I think if we've learned anything during the 8 years of President Obama is that it takes an Obama to get the coalition out to vote. When Obama was on the ticket, 2008, 2012, they had pretty good turnouts. When he was not on the ticket, 2010, 2012, 2014, I mean, 2010, 2014, now 2016, the coalition just didn't turn out to vote. And I think they believe that the next time around, if there is an Obama on the ticket, Michelle on this case, or in this case, they feel that that's going to get the turnout. I'm not sure about that. I'm really not sure about that, because I'm beginning to think more and more. I think it was Michael Barone who wrote this. It may be Michael Barone. I'm not 100%. But somebody wrote that President Obama was, in fact, an aberration, not an emerging new majority, not a growing Democrat Party, but just an aberration. He just came along at the right time. He was able to put together a good campaign in 2008. He got big help in the last 30 days of the campaign from that financial crisis. And then in 2012, frankly, he just outperformed Mitt Romney. They just had a better campaign than Mitt Romney did. But when he's not on the ticket, when he's not running, the Democrats are just not turning out the vote the same way. And I'm not so sure that Michelle Obama is going to do any better than that. I think the days of Obama are over. And the Democrat Party has a lot of problems, and they're going to have to figure out how to deal with these problems, because they think that they're going to deal with the problems by beating up on Donald Trump's cabinet nominations. And that's going to be a big mistake, by the way, if that's what they try to do. If that's what they try to do, they're just going to turn people off more and more. I think the president, who I don't care who it is, I said the same thing when President Obama went in. Look, you're the president. You win the election. You're entitled to putting together a team. You can always disagree with people after the nominations. You can always say, well, I disagree with the Secretary of State. I disagree with the Attorney General. That's fair game. But the nomination, I think the president should get the benefit of the doubt. He should get whatever team he wants. And short of something really major, I mean, something really major, I think the nomination process should not be about policy. It should just be about giving the president-elect the team that he put together. And I think the Democrats are going to make a big mistake if they go after Donald Trump's nominations in an unprofessional way. I mean, if they ask good questions, that's fine. But I think they really want to go after Senator Sessions. They want to go after the Secretary of State, and they want to go after the fellow with the EPA. And they're going to basically throw everything at them for the purposes of basically pleasing the left-wing element of the party. I think it's going to hurt the party. I really do. It's going to hurt the party because it's going to make them look like a bunch of sore losers. If the Democrats were listening to me, here's my advice to them. Get these nominations in as soon as possible. Get Donald Trump to govern. And once he starts governing, then disagree with Donald Trump on issues like Obamacare, foreign policy, budgets, economic policy. There's plenty of time for that. But you should do it after he starts governing, not while he's trying to put together his cabinet. I think this is completely unnecessary on the part of the Democrats. There's a lot of talk, of course, in the news, and it just doesn't seem to go away, about Russia in 2016. Look, I don't like Putin. I never have. I've been very critical of the Obama administration by what I've said is a very soft approach toward Putin and Russia. I mean, Russia was basically in Syria. I mean, we let them back into the Middle East. They're shooting, I mean, not shooting, but they're flying their planes 50 feet over our aircraft carriers, basically provoking the United States. I mean, when you have a plane that flies 50 feet over one of your carriers, I mean, what do you call that? That's a provocation of the worst kind. So the Russians have really been sort of pushing it and pushing it and pushing it, and President Obama has never really responded in any way at all. So, look, it doesn't surprise me that the Russians would try to come in, not so much change the election in the sense that they were messing up the actual ballot. I really don't think anybody can do that because we've got 50 states, 50 different ways of counting these votes, and it's impossible to really mess with an American election that way. But could they have tried to do something to, let's say, undermine American democracy? I believe it. I don't doubt that one bit. I mean, it is, after all, the Russians. They're an adversary of the United States. As I mentioned, we're adversaries in the Middle East. We're adversaries in the Ukraine. They don't like NATO, of which the United States, of course, is the lead country. So, yes, I mean, I'm not surprised that they would try to do anything. But part of the reason I think that they were trying to do so much is because, I'll say it again, the Obama administration was very weak with Russia from the beginning, with that silly reset that we were going to do back in 2009, to other times where it seemed to me that, you know, we just let the Russians push. And instead of standing up to the Russians, in whether it's Syria, Ukraine, or wherever, we just kind of stood back and let them do it. And I think the message that we send to Putin, who is, after all, a former member of the KGB, the message that we sent to Putin was, hey, we're not going to fight back. You can do whatever you want. We're not going to do anything about it. Well, if you say that to a guy like Putin, he's going to try to do a lot of things to hurt you. So I'm not surprised that they would try to, you know, come in here and undermine our election. But that's not the reason that Hillary Clinton lost, which is the motivation for the Democrats to continue to talk about this. Has nothing to do with Russia. It has to do with trying to deflect the reality that she lost because she lost. She didn't lose because of the Russians. She lost because she didn't have a message and she was a lousy candidate, and the Democrat Party cannot win in these Midwestern or counties between San Francisco and New York. That's why they lost. And until they deal with that, it doesn't matter how much they talk about the Russians. Let me just quickly say, and we're going to be writing a post about this in a couple of days, but there's something going on in Mexico. There's a lot of uncertainty regarding the Mexican economy. The peso is dropping a little bit. There have been some problems in Mexico because of the price of gasoline going up, something they really should have done years ago but didn't. And now they're sort of paying the price because they're doing too much at once. My point for bringing this up is this. Whenever there is political uncertainty in Mexico, and we saw this in 1982, we saw this in 1994, it comes back to us, and it comes back to us in the form of immigration or people moving north. So, as I said, we'll talk about it a little bit more on a future program, but we have got to make sure that Mexico is the Mexican economy doesn't stop functioning for Mexico, because if it does, it really hurts us in the sense that these people start coming to the United States looking for opportunities, and then we have problems on the border. We have problems in many states. Well, that's going to do it for tonight, folks. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas saying, have a great evening. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you later. Good night, everybody.